It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Podcasts of the shows are on our website. And sign up for our weekly newsletter and go over to Facebook and give us a like. We would greatly appreciate that. We've got a jam-packed show planned for you today. We'll be talking with Scott Wilder with Save the Children, Chris Cantwell, Trans World Business Advisors, Anthony Hartsook, he is an Army veteran, Jason McBride, obviously, at the bottom of the hour, and Suzanne Steyert, she's an attorney. She's running for Senate District 27 here in Colorado, but she's also the attorney for Due Date Too Late, which is suing the state of Colorado, we'll find out if it's Governor Polis or the state of Colorado regarding his executive order in changing the requirements for getting signatures to get initiatives on the ballot. And then she was also representing the complainants in Governor Hickenlooper's ethics case. So big show planned for you today. My friends, as we're talking with our colleagues, our family, our friends, remember Rudyard Kipling's words. He says, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." So we're looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. It is never compassionate to take other people's rights, destroy their property, take their freedom or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. Always like to say thank you to the team, to Keith, Zach, Charlie, Steve, and Patty, and also to each of you listeners. You're each valued. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Want to jump into here to our inspiration. It is from Noah Webster Jr. We had a quote from him within the last couple of weeks. He was an American lexicographer, a textbook pioneer, English language spelling reformer, political writer, editor, and prolific author. He has been called the father of American scholarship. He was born in 1758. He died in 1843 at the age of 84. And he said this, "In selecting men for office, let principle be your guide. Regard not the particular sect or denomination of the candidate. Look to his character." So keep that in mind. Let's jump over here to Scott Wilder with Save the Children. Does amazing things. He is helping children in Africa. Scott Wilder, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, Kim, and just very excited about a one-day-only opportunity. Could I share it real quick?
Please do.
It is the only day. You've been hearing about us. You know, I've been hearing about what Save the Children does. And, of course, we've told you about 30 million U.S. school children that have been displaced. They don't get their breakfast and lunch programs right now. And so Save the Children is standing in the gap with 100,000 meals a day being provided. And you can actually participate in this. But what makes the day so special is that normally we would say $100 can provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 10 days for one child. $300 can provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one child for a month. $1,000 can provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a child all summer until we get back to the normal, hopefully, Lord willing, the normal school program. But today and today only, your gift is increased tenfold. So your gift of $10, the impact is $100. $100, the impact is $1,000. It's guy math. It's my favorite kind of math. It's easy. I can do it. You put a zero on the end of it, and it'll be good. So you want to make an impact in 50, or you want to give $52, what's the impact? Put a zero on the end of it, $520. At $49, it'd be $490. $100, the impact is $1,000. So right now and today only, this phone number is good for this purpose, 800-520-2649. 800-520-2649. 800-520-2649. This one day only. Or you can simply go online to SaveChildrenKLZ.org. SaveChildrenKLZ.org. And it is the only day you're going to get a tenfold increase in your gift. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate. Save the Children's 100th anniversary. Just a one-day only opportunity. 800-520-2649.
Okay, Scott, now did you just say that it's Save the Children's 100th anniversary?
100th. Actually, we're still in the 100th year. Beginning our second century. Last May was the 100th anniversary of Save the Children in 125 countries around the world, and also right here at home. And as you said, many times I'm talking about Africa. I'm talking about things over there. But at times of crisis and disaster, in fact, 365 this year, 366 days a year, Save the Children is working also right here at home. I've been to the Appalachia region. I've been to the different parts of the country. If I could tell you a very quick story, I was at the Appalachian region. I think of a little girl. If you're wondering about the person you want to think about when you do this today, this little girl, second grader, shows up early on a Tuesday morning because she's always there early because she's on the breakfast and lunch program. It's where she gets her nutrition. She shows up there. She's eating across the table from her little friends, and she says, "Isn't this good? Isn't this delicious? This is so good, isn't it?" And her friends say, "Well, it's good. You know, it's okay." And she said, "No, it's really good. You know, lunch yesterday was good, but lunch yesterday was a long time ago. And this is so good." And her friend said, "Well, what about dinner?" And this little girl in America, little skinny second grade girl in America, has no concept that the third meal of the day is a matter of course for most of us, for all of us. And so today I think about her. You can provide her breakfast, lunch, and dinner for just 10 days for $100. But today and today only, the impact of your gift is increased tenfold when you call this number, only today, and only this number. You call 800-520-2649, 800-520-2649, or you can go online to savechildrenklz.org.
Okay, so instead of getting a designer cup of coffee today, $5, if people would give Save the Children $5, they're actually impacting it $50. So that is a big deal.
It is a big deal. And I always think of it as a key. Whatever you're going to give today is the key, but the door that opens is so much bigger. $5 is the key. You turn the key, and $50 comes out. But if you put $10 in, $100 comes out, and $20, $200, and $100, $1,000. And $1,500, $15,000. So the bigger the key, the bigger the amount that's coming back. So how much would you like to unleash or unlock today? That's sort of the key to it all. And the number again is 800-520-2649.
Okay, that's 800-520-2649. Or go to SaveChildrenKLZ.org. That's SaveChildrenKLZ.org. And with all the craziness going on out there, do something to help somebody else. And this is a great way to do that. Scott Wilder, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. He's in the business of helping people buy and sell really their dreams, helping them buy and sell their businesses. Chris Cantwell, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you today?
I am good. And you, even though it's been so crazy out there, you know, there's good news in this arena, and, you know, people are looking at making some changes. So tell us what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got a great story to tell here in just a minute about somebody who's now going to be able to live their dream. But before that, Kim, I got to tell you, I've been listening to an audio book the last week or so called Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. Is that, have you read that?
No, I have not.
So this was a book that was written in 1938, and it was considered too controversial to be published in its era, and it was released finally in 2011, I believe.
Really?
And it's fascinating. So I'm just, you know, getting started with the book, and I think you get right into chapter two, and the quote that caught my attention right out of the gate is this: "There is infinitely something worse than being forced to work. It's being forced not to work."
Oh, my gosh.
And there was no pandemic during this time. It was, you know, the late 30s. So I think there were some challenges. But, you know, and then the rest of the book is really, you know, the devil is telling people that they're the victim and telling them to have envy. And the devil is forced. And the individual is freedom, right? It's your own mind. It's your own body. It's your own soul. And it's the It's almost like the playbook of today. It's fascinating.
Oh, I'm going to get that.
It's not a super long book or audio book, but yeah. Once I heard that, I was locked in for the rest of the story.
Okay.
So, fascinating.
Okay. And that is Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill.
Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill, yeah.
Okay. So what's your story you've got for us today, Chris Cantwell, with Transworld Business Advisors?
We have a young lady who is living her dream as of this morning. Yesterday, we closed on a little neighborhood restaurant, bar, and grill, and the buyer of this business has been in the hospitality industry her whole life and always wanted to have her own place. She's got a partner in the deal, and I had a seller who was looking to sell and kind of move out of the hospitality industry and do something a little bit different. So we had a match there. We figured out how to get the deal done. We figured out how to do some creative financing. And today she will open the doors on her brand new business. And she is an entrepreneur and couldn't be any more happy today.
Oh, that is so, so exciting. And so people, I mean, you have all these different businesses, and don't you have a list of them? I mean, how can people get information about this, Chris Cantwell?
Yeah, we've got over 200 listings, I believe, right now. And there's tons of opportunities if you're looking to buy a business, if you've got a business and you're ready to retire or your business is distressed or you want to just do something differently, give me a call and you can reach me at 844- SellBiz, 844 SellBiz, or find my contact information on Kim's website.
And that's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Well, congratulate this young woman who is living her dream. It's just great news. So congratulate her, Chris Cantwell.
Will do, Kim. Have a fantastic morning.
Thank you so much. And again, you can reach Chris at 844 SellBiz, 844 SellBiz. And before we go to break, one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants, and they have 5 Colorado locations. They're accepting to-go orders at order.hooters.com. And so they have curbside service. They'll bring it out to you. But they're also open. I dropped by the other day and met a friend, and we had some great nachos with grilled chicken on it, as well as some great margaritas. And so you can certainly go in and be served, which is really a nice treat. Didn't realize how much we really appreciated that. So go to order.hooters.com and either pick up some wings to take them home. Wednesdays are wing day. You buy 20 wings and you get 10 for free. And, just treat yourself and go to Hooters Restaurants. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I'll be talking with Anthony Hartsook, an Army veteran, and a very important story. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter, and you can do that there. One other thing I forgot to mention is we are doing this great event on June 22nd. It is the 3 Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. Helen Raleigh, you know her. She writes for The Federalist. She immigrated from China, has a successful business. And Dr. Paul Prentice have put this workshop together. Tickets are $20. There's a $3 processing fee, and it'll be at Water's Edge Winery, and then you can just purchase your food or drink. It's going to be a great event. I'm sure it's going to sell out, so I'd recommend you go to my website and sign up there. On the line with me is Anthony Hartsook, and this is something that is really important for you folks to know. So, Anthony, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us just a little bit about you. You are a military guy, right?
Correct.
Or have been?
Yeah, I'm retired now. I served 26 years on active service. I came up to the ranks, often known as a Mustang. I went from a private E1 through E6 staff sergeant in the Army. I went through officer candidate school, and I retired as a lieutenant colonel after 26 years of service. I had three combat tours, including the first Gulf War, OIF, and OEF. Served also multiple stateside and overseas in Korea and Italy, the Pentagon, and I retired out of Northern Command down here in Colorado Springs.
Okay. Well, you know, Anthony, I typically try to stay more to issues and don't play in primaries. I typically don't get in there. But there's something that came to my attention that because of all my work with World War II veterans, in fact, I have an interview scheduled later today with an Iwo Jima veteran who actually was in the flag raising of the flag of the Marines, if you can believe it. His name's
wow.
Jack Thurman, and I'm going to be interviewing him a little bit later today. But this is troubling to me, and so I want people to know this just because, you know, I find that the blood and the treasure that has been spilled by our military is sacred. And so tell us what's going on.
Right, Kim. Well, thanks. I mean, I absolutely agree with you. I have, unfortunately or sadly, I have friends buried at Arlington and other cemeteries across the country that I have served with. And it is. It's a very emotional issue. When you're in combat and you serve with the men and women, it's no longer about where they come from or who they are. It's that we're in the Army uniform, the American military forces, we wear the American flag, and we all bleed red. So when you serve in combat, that is, you're looking to that person on your left and right, and that's the person that's going to keep you alive, and you keep them alive. And anyone who, you know, claims that they have been in combat or they've been in a combat zone and have done those things is more than just offensive. It's absolutely infuriating to those of us who have served. And, you know, there's nothing wrong. My wife is a military officer. She's a surgeon, but she's never been in combat. She never claims to be in combat, but she has served through the war. She has treated hundreds, if not thousands, of wounded Marines and soldiers, Army soldiers, and even a couple of Air Force personnel. But she's not a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom or Enduring Freedom, even though she treated all of those patients. You need to be in the combat zone. That's what those medals and awards are for, that recognize that. And in our local county commission race in Douglas County, we have two personnel that I came across and started doing research on, and the one, George Teal, has, you know, he claimed to be a member of the VFW. He actually was. He was in the VFW. He had his card. He was a life member. And it was determined that he had falsified his credentials to get in. The VFW, their bylaws are very clear. They've been around for 100 years. You have to be in a foreign war. Doesn't mean you serve in a foreign land except for Korea. But there's very specific requirements. And he had on his website, to include his official website at Castle Rock and his campaign website. And ultimately, the VFW researched it, gave him 60 days to respond. He did not. And they removed him from the roles of the VFW. They further stated, the commander here, that his terms of saying he's a veteran of Operation Desert Storm and that he's a wartime infantryman are false because he never served in war. He never served. He never led troops. He never engaged with the enemy. He served in Korea, which is fine. He did his job that he was asked to do. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so what Tony, figure out. So he was trained to do a certain job. So that certainly would be true, but to be a part of the VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, you have to have served in the combat zone, or in that.
Correct.
Is that right? Am I understanding that correctly?
That's correct. Yeah, they have three criteria: U.S. citizen,
been honorably discharged or on active duty. But the key piece is that third one is having served in a combat zone, whether that's, the land, sea, air. That doesn't have to be on. You could be in the Navy in a combat, designated combat area. And of course, combat areas are designated by the Department of Defense, and there are ribbons that are awarded for that.
Okay. And politics is, it's a crazy business. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on with politics. And, a number of people had reached out to me regarding this letter from the VFW, taking away the membership of George. And like I say, I typically don't try to get into anything on primaries. However, because of all this work that I've done with veterans and knowing, talking with them when they talk about their comrades who died in battle, this is pretty important to me that people be honest about that. And I mean, we see it all the time in politics, but, I think that, this is pretty sacred. This is a pretty tough claim for me, Tony.
I agree, Kim. Absolutely. I mean, the veterans I know, all of us, it's like I said, it's just infuriating. It's insulting. It's degrading to those of us who have served that someone, and there's hundreds of thousands of troops that served in a support role. That's fine. No issues there. When you claim, however, that you're something you're not, when you flat out lie about being a veteran of a combat campaign that you were not a part of, you were in a support role, it's just wrong. It flat out is wrong.
So where did Mr. Teal serve during this time?
He served, he was his unit, he was a reserve NCO. He was mobilized and they were in Germany for 89 days. He was guarding barracks. That was his job. Which is fine. There was numerous people that were guarding barracks. He guarded barracks. That was his job. He did it for their 89 days. There was a after action review that the Army did on their performance. And then he returned stateside and went back to school.
Okay.
He never served in theater, was never in Iraq, was never in Kuwait, was never in combat, yet he claims he's a wartime infantryman.
Okay, because he did train for that, but he just did not serve in the war on that. So that's where the sticky wicket is on this, right, Anthony?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. What about the other candidate?
Clint Doris was. He was also in. He did serve in the Gulf War, and. He was awarded. He has a Bronze Star that he received from that. He did retire. He did his term of service in the reserves and then got out and went into the business sector. And so, I, as a veteran, I have a Bronze Star myself for my service in Afghanistan. I was an enlisted soldier when I was in the Gulf War. The awards you receive are for what you do. And unless you get into the areas of a Medal of Honor or a Silver Star or something like that, we all did our jobs. And that's what we do. We do our jobs. And there are people that are killed. That's what happens in combat. And the ones that are killed, when someone claims to be part of that cadre, that brother and sisterhood of men and women that served and some that died is.
Well, and the other thing, Anthony,
I don't have the words, Kim. I just don't have the words.
Yeah. And the other thing is the families that are left behind. And so this is something that is very sacred to me. And of course, in this time right now in America, where we see all of this unrest, it's beyond me that people don't totally understand the blood and treasure that has been spilled to fight against tyranny. And so we felt this was an important story. And so retired Lieutenant Army Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Hartsook, thank you for joining us today. You have just about 30 seconds, your final thought.
Yeah, Kim. You know, truth, bottom line is if you're going to lie about your service and where you did, what on earth are you willing to lie about? I mean, where is your moral courage, your honor, and your integrity, not only to the service of the nation, but to the community?
Okay. Well, Tony Hartsook, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Let's jump over here to Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. I tell you, Jason, this market, I'm just surprised. I mean, it was up again yesterday.
It certainly was, and it did it with style and in a big way, too, Kim. The Dow yesterday tacked on another 460 points. The other indexes followed suit, and NASDAQ's at an all-time high at this point. And
really?
The S&P is only about 5% away. You would think that all the news that was coming out was good news instead of kind of crummy news at this point, the way the market's acting.
You know, you always talk about volume, Jason.
Right.
And so what about volume yesterday?
The volume was pretty decent. We had a higher than average volume both yesterday and the day before, which were both good up days, Kim. And that is what you want to see on the up days. You want to see strong volume. Hopefully, when we're pulling back, you'll see a reduction in volume as well, although that's not always the case, obviously. But, yeah, if you wanted the 1-2 punch of both price movement and volume, we've had it on this recent upward tear, although it looks like we may have a little bit of weakness, at least on the open this morning. The Dow futures are indicating down about 200 right now, which after the run this market has had like a scalded dog since late March, that doesn't seem like anything at all.
Well, and during this time, now remember when the market was just getting creamed, when the whole COVID-19 thing was happening, we talked about, you know, there's opportunity. It's difficult to buy when things are down, but you know, that old buy low, sell high is a very successful strategy if you can do that. And you can never hit the exact bottom. You can never, you know, sell at the exact high. But I would suggest that people do a portfolio review with you. And in that, maybe lighten up on something, but also that risk tolerance. That is the other thing that people have, as they've gone through this thing, you know, they may have thought they had one kind of risk tolerance and they found out they have a different one and they've got an opportunity here if they want to tweak that.
Well, that's true, Kim. Like we said yesterday, I bet there was a lot of folks 2 or 3 months ago that were wringing their hands, and not an insult or anything, I'm just saying, and very concerned and worried, and saying, boy, oh boy, I wish I would have done this different. I wish I would have sold. I don't ever want to go through this again or this kind of worry or concern. Well, you know, again, the markets are almost back to the all-time highs or at them, and I feel like it's kind of like, hey, well, here's a second chance. If you want to make changes, in all likelihood, you've got a lot of your money back, and you can do it from a position of strength right here instead of doing it while you're panicked and everything's down, which is the worst time to make big changes.
And okay, that's another one of our words now, strength versus fear. Strength versus fear, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I just made that up.
I know, and I caught it. So I would recommend people reach out to you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management. Phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. And then go to airpresidential.com. That is our landing page together. Your podcast, all that kind of stuff is there. And they can reach out to you that way as well. So, Jason, thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Have a great show, Kim.
Okay, thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, a woman who has been very, very busy, Suzanne Steyert, she's had a couple of very high-profile legal cases she's been working on. And then she is also running for Senate District 27 right here in Colorado. So you will not want to miss this conversation. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits.
Oh, thank you for doing that. Actually, I had talked to or had texted Charlie and Steve that apparently Looney Tunes is going to not let Elmer Fudd have his gun anymore. Can you believe that, Steve?
Or Yosemite Sam. And the funny thing is, I just said to Michael Pelka earlier this morning, in all my years, either Elmer Fudd or Yosemite Sam, at all the rounds they fired, I don't think they hit anything.
Well, that's true.
So
it is unbelievable what's going on in our country right now. But I am so excited to have on the line with me Suzanne Steyert. She is running for Senate District 27, but she's also been involved in a couple of really important legal cases. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for having me.
You know, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into all the subjects here.
Oh, about myself. Well, I live here in Centennial. I have three daughters and grew up a little bit all over, but eventually Wyoming, went to undergrad up there, came down here for law school, and worked in kind of a different variety of local government with Aurora and Arapahoe County and Littleton, and then eventually was appointed Deputy Secretary of State under Scott Gessler, and then I was reappointed under Wayne Williams. And then in 2018, after the election, I left with Wayne, and now I'm in private practice at Maven Law Group, and we do a lot of political law and nonprofit work and that kind of thing. And so I represent people on ballot initiatives and campaign finance, and did the prosecution of former Governor Hickenlooper at the Ethics Commission. So a little variety of work.
Okay, let's get some information out. I actually was on your website. It's beautiful. So how can people find you? What's your website?
Well, my campaign website is Suzanne Steyert. It's SUZANNESTAIERT. And I think it's beautiful because it's filled with my children, too.
Yeah, they're pretty beautiful. So yes, they are.
Yeah, they're beautiful. So I'm running here in Senate District 27, which is Centennial out into Arapahoe County, if you're familiar with it. It's a district held by Jack Tate, a Republican right now, and he's chosen not to run again.
Okay.
I don't have a primary opponent, so just gearing up for the general. And we've done a series of town halls in the last few weeks. Campaigning's been a little slow, so we've done some town halls on Zoom, and we're going to post those. I did one with Jack Tate, which was interesting because he talked a lot about Gallagher and some of the stuff he's been interested in at the legislature. And then also did one with Senator Smallwood. That was really interesting because he had COVID, and so he talked about that experience. And, and then I did one with Heidi Ginnall last week. So,
okay.
We're going to put those up and start putting up a little. I'm just going to start trying to, you know, do a little more on the campaign side. I've been really busy on the legal side, so we're going to build out the website.
Well, let's talk. Let's talk about that. You have been busy, and interestingly enough, Governor Hickenlooper last week was found in violation of some ethics complaints, or what happened exactly, Suzanne?
Well, Colorado has a gift ban that the voters put in place back in 2006. It's called Amendment 41. And so it's kind of like, you know, on the campaign finance side, we have limits on how much people can give. And then on the gift side, once you're in office, you can't take more than, what at the time, it was $59. And he was found in violation twice of that provision of the Constitution. And then the hearing itself was procedurally very kind of a roller coaster, because he refused to comply with his subpoena and he was found in contempt. And so it was quite an intense week.
And this all happened just last week then, correct?
Yeah. So, you know, the case has been pending for, like 18 months. And it was actually filed before a long time, even before he announced he was running for president. He was sitting governor at the time. And it was supposed to go to hearing in March and got delayed because of COVID. And then finally the commission decided, and the commission, when I refer to them, there's five members of this independent ethics commission, and they're appointed by a variety of, you know, actually two of them were former Governor Hickenlooper's appointments, and the Supreme Court and Speaker of the House. And it's a balanced commission. There can't be any more than two R's or two D's. And so they're appointed for, I think, 3 or 4 year terms. So these five members of the commission decided that they were going to do a virtual hearing. And so they set it for a hearing. And we had had, you know, a bunch of stipulations and things in place prior to the March hearing. And one of them was that, you know, Governor Hickenlooper's attorney would be allowed to call him as a witness, and then I would cross-examine him. So the week before the hearing, his attorney announced that he was withdrawing the stipulation and the governor wouldn't be appearing. Well, that was really, you know, kind of a shock to everybody. And procedurally, the problem we had was I had turned to him at the prior February hearing and said, do I need a subpoena? And he said, no, you have my assurance he'll be here. So a week before the hearing, here I was without a subpoena. So we issued the subpoena on Monday. The hearing was supposed to be on Friday. So we issued it on Monday and served it. And he still said he wasn't going to appear. Then he brought in this attorney from D.C., I can't even remember his name, but apparently he used to represent Hillary Clinton back in 2016. He's some big, you know, national Democrat attorney. So he came in and challenged the subpoena in district court, and that happened on Tuesday night, I think.
So this then is Wednesday like a week ago then? Is this how this is? Okay.
A week ago. Yeah. So Monday we get the subpoena. Tuesday they challenge the subpoena. Wednesday night, the judge says, no, you have to appear. Thursday, we start the hearing. So we call Governor Hickenlooper as a witness. He's not there. So then the commission holds him in contempt. And then Friday morning, miraculously, he decides he's going to show up. So Friday, we called him as a witness. And then Friday afternoon, they deliberated and found that he had violated two of the provisions.
And what were those violations, Suzanne?
So one of them, he took a trip out to this conference called Bilderberg. It's some kind of glitzy world leader type conference in Turin, Italy. And he paid for his airfare, and then he paid for his room, and he said he thought it was all-inclusive. But if you look at, you know, what happens at the Bilderberg conference, it's pretty clear that his $1,500 he paid for his room wouldn't have covered what was going on at this conference. It was, and they later admitted that the conference was actually sponsored by Fiat Chrysler. And so he's at this conference, and it's, you know, rooftop cocktails every night, and it's a Maserati limousine, you know, back and forth to the airport, and it's, you know, an army of security, and it's just a CEO and world leader type.
Big wig kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, some glitzy thing. So he was found in violation of that because it was obviously more than, you know, the $59 limit that he took. We actually estimate it's probably closer to, you know, a few thousand because of the security presence and the transportation and that kind of thing. And then the second one was there was a commissioning ceremony of the USS Colorado, a submarine, out in Connecticut. And a bunch of legislators that also worked on that, Senator Bob Gardner, Representative Larry Liston, had been, you know, sponsors of this bill to have a submarine dedicated to Colorado. So all of these legislators fly out to Connecticut to for the dedication ceremony. They pay their own way, and not Governor Hickenlooper. He gets on a plane, a private jet owned by MDC Holdings, which is Richmond Homes, so the largest home builder in Colorado. And he gets on this private jet, and he goes out there, and, you know, they have transportation, and they have all these VIP, you know, dinners and lunches just for their own delegation with all these MDC executives. Senator Gardner, Bob Gardner, testified at the hearing, too, and you know, it was just very striking that while he and Representative Liston are, you know, renting their car from LaGuardia and driving through the McDonald's, you know, Governor Hickenlooper is at a, you know, lobster dinner with executives from MDC Holdings. So he was found in violation of the gift ban on that one, too.
Interesting. Okay. And so now what happens?
So now we move to sentencing, which is supposed to be Friday, and sentencing under Amendment 41 can be double the amount of the whatever the gift is that you took. So we're compiling what we estimate, you know, he violated, and then the commission can do double that. And then they're also supposed to take up the contempt because they never really did. Initially, you know, he had all these defenses, and his defenses are generally in a couple categories. One, oh, I didn't know, you know, I just go along, go wherever, you know. And then the other one was these were all, you know, my friends on special occasions. So that's a exception to the gift ban too. Really intended more for, you know, take you out to dinner on your birthday or something like that. But apparently his friends are billionaires and his special occasions are different than the rest of ours. So so he gets sentenced on both of those, and that includes the contempt, because the contempt, you know, that spent a lot of time, you know, of the commissioner's time, of our time, of the attorney general who represents the commission, their time, to have him just not appear. And so they'll take up whatever the penalty is on that, too.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go to break, Suzanne Steyert. And when we come back, explain to our listeners why this is so important. The optics look to me like they're terrible for former Governor Hickenlooper. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Suzanne Steyert, and she was the attorney for the complainants regarding this ethics complaint against former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper. So let's stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter and go over to Facebook, give us a like, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And on the website is the information regarding this great salon series, Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice. That event will be June 22nd. So go to my website. You can get your tickets there. On the line with me is Suzanne Steyert. And my friends, as we see what's going on in our world today, elections have consequences. We really need to know about the people that we are putting in office. And Suzanne Steyert is running for Senate District 27 right here in Colorado. You can check out her website. It's Suzanne, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, Steyert. That's S-T-A-I-E-R-T.com. I got all that right, didn't I, Suzanne?
You did, yes.
Okay, SuzanneSteyert.com. We have another thing we want to chat about, but I kind of want to finish up this story regarding Governor Hickenlooper and this violation of what's it called exactly?
Amendment 41. It's our gift ban.
The gift ban. Okay. Why is this so important that he was found in violation? And also, he ignored the commission as well. You had to subpoena him, and he didn't show up. And then when he realized things were getting serious, he showed up the next day. Why is this so important, Suzanne?
Well, I think if you look at his conduct, initially the complaint had 90 different violations, and most of those fell outside the statute of limitations, which is only 1 year. But if you go back and look at the original complaint and then you look at his conduct throughout the hearing, I mean, this really was somebody who just doesn't believe the law applies to him. He didn't pay attention to this provision in the Constitution. He just got on, you know, private charter plane after private charter plane. He went to VIP events that he didn't pay for. He was just somebody who didn't pay any attention to that provision. And then when the hearing came, you know, he again just didn't believe he should have to comply with, you know, a subpoena. He didn't believe he should have to testify before the commission. This was just someone with a pattern of conduct that, you know, tells you he thinks he's above the law, and you know, he just lived a lifestyle that was completely out of touch with, I think, you know, what 99.999% of Coloradans would consider appropriate for an elected official.
So he's the 0.01% or something like that.
0.000, yeah. All his friends are billionaires. Yeah. I mean, it's just,
you know, it seems like I'm recalling that he was using some 9/11 money, the state of Colorado money, for his attorneys for something. Was that for this, or do you? I'm just trying to. It's kind of in the recesses of my brain, but
it was
okay.
Yeah, he, you know, and that's actually a whole nother story, because when Wayne Williams left the office, he had an ethics complaint, and I was defending him, and they refused to pay for his defense. And when I showed up at the first hearing, there was Hickenlooper's attorney, and I thought, I wonder who's paying him. So I did a records request to the governor's office, and I found out that they were paying him $525 an hour to represent former, you know, Governor Hickenlooper, while they were telling me, we don't pay to represent former elected officials. You have to do that yourself. So, you know, here they were paying him. And then when we looked into where the funds were coming from, they were coming from the 9/11 recovery fund. And they were using that so they didn't have to go through the legislature and get any appropriation. And it would, you know, potentially be under the radar, except we found it when we pulled the records. So, you know, again, it was just a situation where they're not going to, you know, give the same kind of defense to a Republican as they are a Democrat. They're going to spend all their money trying to defend him against this conduct that was just so clearly inappropriate.
Well, and I think I heard that two of the commission members on this commission were actually Hickenlooper appointees. Is that true?
Yeah. The chairwoman was appointed by Hickenlooper, and then Bill Leone, who's the longest standing commissioner, he was originally appointed by Hickenlooper and then reappointed by Senator Grantham.
Okay. And so on these violations, then what was the vote by the commission?
So on the trip out to Connecticut, it was 4-1, the chairwoman voting no, and on the trip to Bilderberg conference, it was 5-0.
Wow. Okay.
And on the contempt, it was 5-0.
Well, I think congratulations is in order on that. So, Suzanne Steyer, let's jump over here. Another thing happened yesterday, and the Secretary of State said that the due date too late, the Initiative 120, which is to ban late-term abortions in Colorado, is going to make the ballot. And you were involved in that as well regarding Governor Polis came out, Mr. Executive Order, came out with an executive order on that. So tell us a little bit about that. We've got maybe 5 minutes.
Okay, so I represented Initiative 120, which is a ban on late-term abortion, through the title-setting process last summer. And then we initially turned in petitions on March 3rd. We were declared insufficient by the Secretary of State by 10,000 signatures. And then you have a 15-day period to go out and collect those additional signatures under the law.
Can I just make a quick comment on that, Suzanne?
Sure.
Is my signature, when I checked it, they did not, I had to sign again because they did not say that it was valid. I found that absolutely astounding. And that happened to a lot of people that I know. So anyway, I just want to make that editorial comment on that.
Right. They invalidated about 20,000 of our signatures. And so they had to go back out and collect again, and they had a two-week period. Well, they declared us insufficient on April 3rd. And as we all know, by April 3rd, nobody was allowed to leave their house. So we asked for a stay to start the clock on our 15 days until the stay-at-home order was lifted. So that happened on May 15th, and we started to collect again. Well, also on May 15th, the governor put out in the middle, really late that night, an executive order that allowed every initiative except ours to have until August 3rd to collect. And he specifically exempted the initiative 120. And all along, we had been trying to get a delay so that we could pick the date we started our 15 and we could just collect until till the 3rd, which is what it says in the Constitution. The Constitution says you have until August 3rd. And then there's a statute that says, no, you only have 6 months from the date you set a ballot title. So we think the statute's in conflict with the Constitution anyway. But we were trying to get out till the 3rd, and they wouldn't give it to us. So, finally on the day that we go out to start collecting, he puts out this executive order and says, everybody but you can have until the 3rd. So along with Christy Burton Brown, who's the vice chair of the Republican Party, and she's also on the committee for this initiative, we filed a complaint in federal court against Governor Polis for exempting us from the order, so filing under a due process claim and discriminating against us and retaliation. So that's pending in federal court. We were going to do a preliminary injunction, except then once we started collecting, we just, picked up a lot of steam and ended up getting qualified for the ballot yesterday. And so we don't really need the preliminary injunction anymore because we're qualified. But we still want the court to enter an order declaring that he can't discriminate against us in the future, between now and the election.
Yeah, and I think this, again, is a character issue of picking winners and losers. So, yes, this did hit the news cycle yesterday that the Initiative 120 is going to be on the ballot, and this is to basically, it's to ban abortion after 22 weeks, so, because at 22 weeks, we realize that typically the baby can feel pain. So is there anything in the initiative that would allow abortion after 22 weeks?
There's an exception for the mother's health. And the initiative, the 22 weeks, is really, it's tied to when a fetus is viable. And so we believe that, at that point, and Roe v. Wade also recognizes that at the point that a fetus is viable, it has rights. Separate from the mothers, and so that's why we picked the 22 weeks.
Okay. Well, Suzanne Steyer, congratulations on that. You've been busy, and you're running for office, and now that that we're starting to be able to come out of our homes, you've got a lot of work that you're going to be doing. So be sure and check out this website. It's SuzanneSteyert.com. Suzanne Steyert, that's STAIERT.com. Suzanne, thank you so much, and thank you for the good work you're doing.
Sure. Thanks, Kim.
Okay. Now, our quote for today is from Noah Webster, and it's a little longer, so hopefully I have my timing down right here. He says, if the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office. The government will soon be corrupted. Laws will be made not for the public good so much as for selfish and local purposes. Corrupt and incompetent men will be appointed to execute the laws. The public revenues will be squandered on unworthy men, and the rights of the citizen will be violated or disregarded. Steve, I think that that is pretty apropos for today.
Talk about prophetic.
I know. I know it. So that's Noah Webster. And again, he lived from 1758 to 1843. That is one of the reasons why we want to study our history, Steve. So today, be grateful, my friends. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
On a rough road, riding high, through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home. Young, like a